Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach. I am thrilled to have Nick McGowan with me here today. Nick, welcome.
Hey, Maria. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so glad to have you. So to start out, please introduce yourself to our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Nick McGowan. I'm a mindset and self-mastery coach. I also host the podcast that's the Mindset and Self-Mastery Show, which I believe is exactly how we connected, Maria, because you were on my show at one point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I, for everyone listening, Nick's show is wonderful. Check it out.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So today we're talking about mind cluck and how to overcome it. So let's start with, tell us about a major something that happened in your life where you really had to tackle your own mind cluck.
Well, so the mind cluck thing in and of itself is fantastic. And I love that you have a show called Mind Cluck, because when we first started talking, I was like, is that what I fucking think it means?
Yes.
You're like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. For anybody who's out there wondering, it means what you think it means. Yeah,
exactly. It's just a safer way to put it. You can put it in public. Oh, man, this is a total mind cluck. And I'll be like, what did you say? I said the word cluck. So calm down, you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Maria, when I think back to some of the situations in life that were kind of pivotal moments, there are a handful of them. But one of the most recent things that happened, and I say recent, like in the past year and a half, has really been a divorce, the big D word.
Yeah. You went through that.
It's totally fine. I appreciate that. In fact, that's one of the things. It's interesting. So when you say the words, I got a divorce, or I'm going through a divorce, or something like that, there's typically two camps of people. One that's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. How are you? And then others that have typically been divorced where they're like, oh, what's next? Are you okay? Like, yeah, I'm good. All right, cool. They're like, all right, so what does this look like from here? Because they've worked through some of that too.
Yeah. But
there's a lot of mind cluck and junk and just stuff that goes through your brain. And in some ways, I look for the silver linings in most all things. And 2020, with everybody being basically locked in their home for 6 months at least.
Right.
I was stuck in my condo with my ex-wife going, all right, you and me are fucking looking at each other. We got to talk about this stuff. We got shit we got to talk about. And it wasn't like we were in some knockout brawl sort of thing where we're throwing shit at each other and all of that because of the type of people that we are. But it still hurt to go through the stuff that we're going through. And the amount of times that I would think to myself, like throughout the years, we got to talk about this thing. You know, fuck it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. We're having a nice night. Let's just sit here. Let's enjoy. And I'll let future me deal with it.
Okay.
And the amount of times I'd said, yo, future me, you can deal with it. When future me comes up, he's like, what the fuck? Like, come on, man. Just deal with your own shit. Stop. Just fix it, you know?
Yeah.
But when 2020 came around, it was a great opportunity. And I say an opportunity for my ex-wife and I to be able to discuss stuff. We're stuck in the house. We've got to look at each other. We got to talk about these things, or we can just blanket over it. But I think you get to a point in life where you hear so much of the stuff in your head that you either do something negatively with it or you do something positive with it. I can go back through different times. Like I overdosed on heroin when I was 19. That fucked me up pretty bad.
I would imagine.
Yeah, almost committed suicide a couple times, got into some pretty bad accidents, had some businesses fail, made lots of money as a young 28 something, and then found myself broke as a joke, lying on my mom's couch in her house, being like, what in the fuck am I doing now? What happens from here? But each of those moments, you hear all the stuff that goes through your head, and it's up to us as, I think, the spiritual beings to not just get locked in what we're doing in this physical reality and just take it as is. Because we can change whatever we want. It's just a matter of, you know, realizing where you're at and then doing something with it and changing the way that the mind is speaking to you instead of just going, okay, yeah, you keep telling me I'm a piece of shit. Well, I guess that's it. This is you. This is what I am. I didn't want to ever really accept that. But I remember over the course of time, just pushing it off and being like, future Nick will deal with it. future Nick would get so pissed off at different times. He'd be like, why am I dealing with this right now? Oh, because I was a lazy bastard before and I didn't do anything about it. So there's a whirlwind that can kind of go through. But long story short, the divorce was probably the biggest thing recently over the past couple of years that has really shifted the way that I look at things and given me some confidence, honestly, from it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so tell us when you were finally saying, okay, it's not future Nick who's going to deal with this. It's Nick right now. What were the messages that you were getting and how did you shift those? Like, were you getting negative messages, like messages to beat yourself up? Like, why aren't you going to keep going in this marriage or whatever it might be? Sure. Or were you already past that point? Like, tell us your mental process.
Yeah. I think everybody, even if they tell you, you know, I'm well past that, that's horse shit. Everybody has some fucked up stuff that happens that they think about. Some people just wake up and they're instantly just like, damn, wow, this sucks. And I joke with people, like, once you get over 30, you wake up and you're like, why is my back hurt? Oh, yeah. I slept. That's what I did. I just stayed in one spot for 7 hours, you know? And some people, I can fuck up the rest of your day and be like, all right, well, fuck, my back hurts. So everything else hurts and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I say all that because there was stuff that was going through my mind. There were different things that were going through my mind. But because I wasn't able to get out of my house, go to the office or go to the gym or go do this or go do that or just really be able to get out, I could only get away from that for so long.
Yeah.
And because I'd done that for a handful of years already, there was one point in me where I was like, how much fucking more are you going to deal with this?
Yeah.
At what point are you just going to stand up and do something about it? Because a couple of years before that, maybe 3-4 years before that, my ex-wife and I were in Portland, Oregon. I had a really successful social media and digital marketing agency, successful from the outside.
Okay.
And it looked great from the outside. Internally, I was a complete fucking mess because we built such an organization that we were doing great things and we had 50 plus families that we were feeding, basically, that were on the payroll.
Wow.
But there were times where I felt like I had 40-foot walls around me and I didn't know how to get out. And my wife and I didn't have the exact connection that we needed to, like the much deeper soulful connection that we needed to be able to work through some of it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like there were moments where I needed to deal with it on my own. So I started to push that stuff down. And at one point that came up where I was literally in a very black and white way. It was either I jump off the top of the condo building or I do something different.
Yeah.
Clearly you're not talking to a ghost. So I chose to do something different.
Thank goodness.
I appreciate that. And there've been a couple times throughout life, but I've realized and recognized that when that stuff happens, I could have done something about it before. I shouldn't get myself to that point. So there was a point sitting in my condo with my ex-wife thinking about that, like, hey, jerk off, you remember a couple years ago when you did this and you thought about that? I was like, whoa. So there are certain times where I think some of that almost negative speak can put you in a right mindset if you allow it to. Like, you have to parent yourself. And maybe your parents wouldn't say that to you, but my parents would. My dad would be like, yo, asshole, what's your deal? What is the deal with this thing right here? And I can't hide from that at that point. So there are certain moments where I have to kind of parent myself to do that and go, all right, dude, how much longer are you going to deal with this? Well, you know, I don't know if I, you know, and bullshit excuse just comes up, you know?
See, what I think, what I was going to say is when you ask yourself a question, when I ask myself a question, I tune into my wisest, deepest self who always has the right answer.
Sure.
And so it's like, if you just train yourself whenever you're kind of in one of those situations and you're beating yourself up or you're putting things off or whatever, if you like relax and tune in and say, okay, what do I really think about this? Like, you'll get an honest answer.
For real. Yeah.
Have you found that?
Big time. Oh yeah. I love to go deep into my intuition. And I know when I've got the right answer, it's typically one, maybe two words and it's a punch. Like, think about it. Your intuition doesn't speak to you in ums and ahs, you know? It's not like, oh, you know what? Maybe you could try this. That's not how it works. It's usually one of those things where it's like, speak now, and you feel it internally, and you're like, whoa, okay, I should probably do something with this. I also follow a rule of three. I kind of think it's the intuition, Holy Spirit, however you want to put it, right? I think about it this way. if something pops into mind, like think about when you want to go talk to somebody, like you're standing next to somebody at a grocery store and you feel you should talk to this person.
Okay.
I totally have the right to go, nope, I don't want to. I just don't want to do it right now. And then the second time it pops into my mind, I go, all right, well, I remember you came around the first time and I told you no. I'm going to tell you no again because I don't want to, or whatever it is. Maybe I take advantage of it at that point. But the third time, when it comes up for the third time, that's me basically just disobeying the intuition and being like, no, I don't want to. And that you can't really do. So with the rule of three, by the third time it comes up, I go, all right, I got to do something with this. And sometimes it'll be, I don't really know exactly what to say here, but I feel I need to say something. So here it is. And that was one of the things that opened the door for my ex-wife and I to be able to start talking about some deeper things. We had shit that we needed to talk about, and we had stuff that we needed to deal with internally on our own, and that we were actively kind of working through things, but not exactly sharing it with each other as we were going through it. So in those moments, there were a couple times where the rule of three kicked in, and a couple times where the rule of five or six would kick in, because I'd done it for a couple of years, you know? I learned to be able to look at things businessy and be able to take that, take the emotion out of it, just look at things logically. But when it came to my marriage, I mean, honestly, I was just trying to learn how to husband, like how to be the best person I could be. And there are certain times where I'm like, all right, well, I think the smartest move to just say, yes, ma'am, and move along, you know, fight the next battle at some other time. And it wasn't like we fought constantly. It's just, there were some dissonance that was happening. And I think the whole message that I took from it, looking back at it now, you know, a year and a half later, was one of the things I could have done differently was just be more communicative with myself. Hey, these are the things that don't really resonate with me. Why is that?
Right.
And I always think to the question behind the question. It was a book that I read a long time ago about the whys. Like, why do you like this? Why do you like that? Why that? And just almost like a little kid, you know, you're like, hey, don't cross the street without looking both ways. Why? Because you can get hit by a car. Why?
Why?
Because people and assholes are cars, you know, they're going to hit you. But why? Because people want to hit little kids. Don't go out in the middle of the street. But why? And you're like, ah. So you can do the same thing with your mind and then kind of work through and figure out, well, why? And you get to that point where your intuition will pop up, go, this is it. This is why. And then it's on us to be able to do something about it. So kind of taking that approach, even within myself, again, being in a condo, being like, all right, you know, I'm going to go to this corner of the condo now for a little bit. And then I'm going to come back over here and look, you're still fucking here. We got to talk about these things, you know?
So for somebody who right now is in a marriage and is thinking, I've been getting these messages and I need to look at this and think about this and whatever, how would you tell them to start opening their mind to it? Like what's sort of the initial thing to say, okay, I keep getting these messages that there's dissonance in my marriage and I'm not sure what to do about it, but what do I do with these messages? So what would be the first thing you would suggest?
The first thing I'd suggest is probably a large leap for a lot of people, but I would say to talk to somebody, talk to somebody that's not in your immediate circle. Mm-hmm. I have two friends that they love me dearly, but they have no qualms with fucking putting me in my place at all. But I've known them for 20 plus years. I consider
and you
them
trust
brothers.
Them. Right.
Exactly. Them. Yeah. And there's that accountability that I've built with them. Not everybody has friends like that. Now, I don't have billions of friends because as I've gotten older, the quantity has gotten less and the quality has gotten a lot better. But if you have somebody around that you can have a conversation with that isn't going to take sides, isn't going to be like your wife's, you know, whatever, or you're whatever, they're going to play sort of Switzerland in a sense and just be able to be on both sides of that. Because really what you need is somebody just to listen and potentially help you get to the questions that you need to actually ask. But I found, at least with myself and most people I talk to, we are great at talking ourselves in and out of whatever we want.
And, I agree with that.
Yeah. And we can just say, you know what? This feels really tough right now. I think I want to go play a video game because I don't want to do this tough thing right now. But if you and I were having a conversation and in the middle of that, I was like, you know what, Maria, this is some tough conversation. There's a basketball app on my iPad. I'm going to go play that. You'd be like, the fuck you are.
Yeah. You'd be like,
you're asked right here, right here. This is where we're going to stay for a little bit and talk about this.
Yeah.
So I put myself into therapy again, and I've gone to therapy, counseling, coaches, and all that stuff. And I've taken different periods of time where I've pulled back from that and done more introspective and things of that sort. But I remember getting into the room with the therapist, and she was like, all right, so basically, why are you here? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to do? I was like, I hope you take no offense to this, but my ass is here to make sure that I'm stuck in four walls to be able to talk to another human to hold me accountable, because I won't allow myself to do the things that I know that I need to do because I'm great at talking myself out of shit. She just kind of looked at me and blinked and was like, oh, well, all right, cool. I appreciate your honesty. And was like, what's the thing? What's on your mind? And I remember talking to her about the divorce, or like going closer and closer to a divorce, and talking through what was going on and how it affected. But I believe most everything, if not all of our trauma, comes from childhood. Something will happen way back in the day that you have to process through, even at different times, even if you've processed through it. There are different times in life will, you know, resurface in some way or some situation. So it was important for me to go and sit in that space with that person and then be able to go from there. In fact, after a couple of months of going to therapy, you know, working through stuff and doing the thing of getting in front of people, I remember thinking to myself, driving home one night, I was like, man, this is it. I'm just going to tell her we need to get a divorce. This is the end of it. And maybe 15 minutes away from my house, it hit me like a ton of bricks. No, you're not. Just love her. Love her through it. Okay. Worst case, you get a divorce and it was okay. And you loved her through it. Best case, you're in deeper love. And I remember being like, yeah, that makes total sense. Cool.
Wow. Okay.
So I got home and was just all in. I was like, hey, I don't know what this is going to look like. You know, I've been going to a therapist and talking about things. I love you. And I want to make sure that we do whatever we can.
Yeah.
And we still ended up getting a divorce, but it was beautiful in the way that it worked out.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like, I think if I would have pulled the trigger back then at that point and went home and done what I felt internally, like the fire and basically what I grew up with, I would have kicked in the door, been like, get the fuck out of my house and blah, blah, blah. And that's never good, never going to work. Instead, I chose to love her and myself simultaneously and figure things out and see it as an opportunity to grow. And I remember thinking and even praying, like, all right, if this is supposed to end, help me to just understand what I'm supposed to get out of this thing. And if it's not supposed to end, help me to understand how we and I can be better from all of this. And now here we are a year and a half after the divorce, and it's beautiful. I mean, there are certain times I talk to my ex-wife, we'll shoot the shit every so often, but our names are on one of the cars. We had two cars. I gave her one. I kept the other, that sort of deal. But at one point she got something in the mail about one of the cars. And I was like, cool, can you send that to me? And I'll just take a look at it. And then the next message, I was like, do you need my address? Because I'm still in the same house. She was like, no, I don't need your address and know where you live. You know, at this point, I kind of have fun with it, understanding that we needed to go through what we needed to go through. And that divorce doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to be a death. Like I've told many people, I didn't get married to get a divorce.
Right.
I sure as fuck didn't get a divorce to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's very powerful. So one of the things when you were talking about, you know, talking to someone, I think one of the most valuable things about talking with someone, especially a trusted someone, so whether it's somebody dear to you, a coach, a therapist, whatever, it's getting the reflection so that it's like, okay, I just heard you say this. What does that mean to you? Because then you can start to, you can start to take apart the like, where am I just raging because I've got this emotion stored up and whatever, and where am I actually rationally processing this? And then also like what limiting beliefs are coming up, what childhood trauma is involved in this that's making me interpret what she does or what I do in a particular way. I think all of that gets sorted out when you have a real trusted person who can provide an accurate reflection.
Big time. I totally agree. And that's so, so difficult for most people, even the people like us that are seasoned in that and have done the deep work within ourselves. It's difficult for us to be able to do that and hold ourselves accountable to it constantly. You know, you and I can talk a great game about stuff, but it really matters when we're doing it. And when we're doing it, we're more equipped than some other people who haven't gone through the experiences, haven't read the books, learned the things, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
So specifically with those people, those are the people where I think this might sound like a leap to you to just step out and talk to somebody, but that stepping out and talking to somebody automatically sets accountability. And it's different than going to your brother or sister who is total team you and being like, hey, wife and I are having problems. And they're like, cool, fuck them.
You're
like,
oh, exactly.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, which doesn't actually serve you well.
It hurts.
For anyone who is listening and is like, I just don't feel safe talking to someone, what would you suggest in that case?
That's a very good question.
I have an idea too, but I'm really curious to hear what you would do.
Sure. Well, if somebody doesn't feel safe talking to somebody, that's an issue in and of itself. You need to deal with that. So it's a separate little fucking thing. But realistically, if they're like, look, I don't know if I want to go talk to anybody. I think I can do some of this on my own. Then it's figuring out the things that actually align with you as a person and the things that don't. And there's certain simple things like the family matters that have to happen where somebody's like, hey, we're going to go see little Timmy's baseball game. It's an hour away. If you really enjoy that, great. But look, if you've hated that for a couple of years now, you have to think about that and understand why. Right. What is that? Why don't I enjoy that time? And just start to process through some of that stuff. I think as we start to, the visual in my head is almost like digging in your backyard. If somebody was like, hey, I think there's like a little treasure back there. One of the past owners left a little box or something. You're like, all right, cool. You start digging through and maybe you'll find some different things. But if you're just looking at the ground going, huh, I wonder what's down there. Bet there's some more grass and dirt and shit.
Yeah.
Come out, box. It's not going to do anything. You know, you have to actually start to dig through some of it and you'll start to find other things as you go through it. So figuring out what are the things that feel dissonant and then how it aligns with that person. Because there are certain times, and I experienced this, where there are things that didn't feel right, and it wasn't on her, and it wasn't on the rest of the family. It was a me thing, where I was like, why don't I feel right with this? Oh, because of this thing. Oh, because of when I was a kid, this thing happened.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And I still feel this way. So let me process through that thing. Because it may not be a marriage problem. It may just be a you problem that you're putting a wall up or something like that. So figuring out what those things are that make you feel dissonant, but even deeper than that, you've got to be principle centered. Like if you have no idea what your principles are, you're just kind of a lump of flesh moving around and just being reactive. You know what I mean? I don't mean that to sound abrasive, but really that's how it is. Like if you have no idea what you can rest back to and go, I don't accept these things because it goes against my principles, or I accept a ton of these things because it is totally in alignment with my principles, then that's a totally different story. But if you don't know, you just kind of react and go, all right, cool. Well, this person said this thing, I guess it's gospel. Cool. Taking it on. It shouldn't be how it works.
Oh, I think that's such a good point, because I think it can be so easy to attach oneself to somebody else's opinion, whether it's someone you know or someone, you know, something in social media or whatever, regular media. And you could say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go with that. But if you actually take the time to reflect on yourself and say, well, what do I really think? Or maybe you're in a conversation and everyone's kind of taking one side. And so you take that side too, because you're like, well, okay, I guess this must be right. But then you go home and you're like, no, that isn't right. The important thing is to actually ask the question, what do you really think?
Yeah.
Another thing you mentioned that I wanted to comment on is feeling reactive. Because I think so often when any of us feel reactive, we're actually following an old feedback loop.
Yep.
And so we're getting out of our intuition, out of our instinct, and we're following that old feedback loop. And so we might even act in a way where we're like, God, why am I being such an asshole? And then you're like, you know, but then you can go back and realize like, oh, in that situation, I felt vulnerable because, and so I reacted.
Yep.
But I think for somebody who's not yet ready to talk with a trusted person, whatever that might be, a good way to begin is just to start writing. So every time that you find yourself in one of these situations where you're like, the fuck am I doing? Write about it. and see what comes up. Because often if we get into stream of consciousness writing, your instinct, your wise self will take over and we'll start dictating.
Yeah. I think that's one of those tools that, I can tell you, I want you to hammer this thing in. Like if we were doing some construction or something, you'd be like, that's cool. I've got a hammer, like a manual hammer, or I've got an electric hammer, or I've got, a screwdriver in the back of it. And I can use that as a hammer or whatever. Anything can become whatever you want it to be. And I think it's a matter of us kind of figuring out what works for us. So specifically for me, I pushed away from journaling for the longest time because I told myself my handwriting's atrocious. I should use my other foot next time I write. Like I'd make all those stupid fucking jokes with people, just because honestly, I was rushing through whatever I was writing. So when I would actually sit down to journal and I challenged myself to do it, it was like, dude, just sit down and just try it. Give it a week, give it 2 weeks, something like that. I noticed what you were talking about, where some of that stream of consciousness would come through. I also used to write poetry. I'm a musician, lyricist, stuff like that. So I feel that at different times, but that wasn't always my jam. And I know there are certain people that writing for them helps, exercising helps, whatever it is that really gets the mind thinking about these things. We want to be able to separate ourselves from the emotion and the logic and allow the two to be able to play, but understand that we're in control of that as much as we can be. So understanding if note or journaling is what's right for you, great. If speaking to somebody is right for you, if listening to something or whatever, but no matter what, you still got to experience those things to try them out, like give it a shot.
I mean, I think one of the things that's really interesting is I call them Zen activities. So it's like, there are certain things that I do pretty regularly where when I do this particular thing, then my mind like relaxes and then it gives me information. And it's sort of like a version of daydreaming, except it's more directed. So like I might be trying to sort something out or come up with a solution to something. For me, it often happens when I'm taking a walk, when I'm cleaning, if I'm doing art, like there's all different kinds of ways. But so message to our audience is there are a million ways to start really tuning into your own instinct and intuition. And every time you do it, you silence Mind Cluck because Mind Cluck is there just saying like, telling you all kinds of negative things. And sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it. But when you realize you're doing it and you go, oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to direct my thought to this and then start doing something that gets you into a sort of flow that kind of relaxes your mind so you can actually think productively. Then you start to make progress and it becomes really satisfying.
Big time. That's a great point. I think about hobbies in that sort of way. So I'm a musician. I write music. I record music. And I also collect sports collectibles, like sports cards and memorabilia and stuff like that. And that's something that the cards specifically, I recently got back into within like the past 2 years. But I found that there are moments of being able to go through those, organizing certain things, just kind of going through it, where my brain will start to kind of think about other things and it'll start to answer some questions of other things that are happening. And specifically when it comes to music, a producer told me this years ago, maybe 15 years ago. Sometimes you just need to step away and come back with brand new ears, just fresh ears. Because if you're just beating at something over and over and over and over and over again, but if you walk away and go do something else and then come back, it's a fresh perspective. So even in the tough conversations, we sometimes need to just be able to step away from it. Like not everything has to happen right now.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think especially when one or the other person is feeling reactive, that's when it is absolutely time to take a break.
Moonwalk out of that situation.
Yeah, you got to walk away because nobody accomplishes anything if you're in a reactive state. If one or both of you is in a reactive state, you're just going to make your conflagration bigger. But if you take a break and ground yourself in using whatever method works for you, and then you think about it again, you'll get the information you need. Well, so we're getting towards the end of our time here. I feel like you and I could talk for hours. So is there any last piece of advice you'd like to give to our audience?
I want to go back to what I'd said earlier about, your principles. I think that's a big, big, big thing, because no matter what's happening, if you don't understand what your principles are, what your core principles are, what aligns with you and resonates with you at a deep center, then honestly, the rest of this shit just doesn't matter. You're just going to be reactive for the rest of your fucking life anyway.
Yeah.
So if you can understand what makes sense to you and what aligns with you, then that's how you can start to look at things. It's almost like the glasses you can look at things through, the lenses you can look through it, where you can say, does this make sense with how I say that I am full of integrity? If I do this thing, does that mean that I'm full of integrity, or am I lacking integrity? If I do this, does that follow along with the principle of being honored? No? Okay, well then don't do that thing. But if you don't know those things to look back at, to kind of look at through the filter of your principles, then you're just going, I didn't kill anybody, so I guess it's good. Cool. Moving along. Like, yeah, but you just robbed the bank. Like, you didn't kill anybody, but you robbed the bank. So that's wrong in and of itself. So you can stop yourself. I've realized with my life that I can stop myself from getting to situations if I understand early on what the principles are and what aligns with those. Because if there are things that don't align with those, don't continue to walk down that path.
Yeah, that is sage advice. I totally agree with you. So anything else you want to tell our audience before we sign off?
You can quiet the mind cluck at times, but it's there. So understanding that it's there allows you to actually do something with it. The awareness is the biggest thing. And I talk about this on my show. Shit, we probably talked about it with you being on the show.
We did.
If you're not aware of something, you can't do anything about it. You have to be aware of it. So awareness and your principles. And honestly, you should be set up to be able to handle whatever mind cluck comes along, because some of the stuff might actually help you. Some of it, you might go, shut the fuck up, calm down you, and then put it in its place.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Nick, thank you so much for being on our show. And everyone, I will have contact details for Nick in the show notes. You will be able to reach out to him if you would like. And thanks so much for being with me today and for this great conversation.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Wonderful. So to our audience, thanks for listening and see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.